Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. And, did we have some church folk to talk about? Yes, we started off talking about the Ugandan stepmother who gave her stepdaughter rat poisoning when she stayed out late on a Sunday because she had been to church and given her life to the Lord. Now, some, you know, say she was Muslim, and but do you hate Jesus that much that you're going to kill his people off? Yes, the young lady was only 23 years old and had been out with her friends. And when they came home late, her stepmom was cooking and asked her, why are you home so late? And she excitedly told her, I went to church today and I gave my life to the Lord. Well, thereafter, mom stopped talking. And the young lady had fasted all day, so she shouldn't have had any problems in the stomach area. Well, shortly thereafter, she started getting pains in the stomach. Her friend was there. They were calling out to the stepmom to come and help. Stepmom did not answer. Neighbors took her to the emergency room. And unfortunately, that's when she met her demise. And later on, they found out that the stepmom had poisoned her. Now, I mean, we didn't got mad at kids for some things, but goodness gracious. Is this what we're doing? Man, over here, we want to kill the kids because they don't accept the Lord. But, you know, we're going to pray for that family. She, again, has a 3-year-old little girl. And, you know, that 3-year-old little girl doesn't have a mom anymore because she wanted to have Jesus in her life. So, you know, there's a lot to be said, you know, as we talked about yesterday, for the freedom that we have here in America, you know, where we miss the Lord on our own. We're free to disregard him, disrespect him, and we don't meet with that kind of faith. There's a God that just continues to give us a chance after chance after chance. So, you know, this is how other countries have to deal with, you know, others, you know, when they want to, you know, seek the Lord for their life. They don't even have that freedom. So we definitely lift that family up in prayer. And we even lift the stepmother up in prayer. You know, because imagine, she killed someone because they accepted Jesus as their savior. Now, we don't know if it was a direct opposition to Muslim that, you know, she was having a problem with. But nonetheless, that was the reasoning. So we don't really need to know much, you know, much else. Alrighty. Alright. Well, we also talked about the flashy bishop who's back in the news for being a slumlord. Now, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, he said that his church members are not poor. He does not have a temple in an impoverished area. Well, all the jewelry that they stole from him, he claimed that they stole upwards of $1 million worth of jewelry. He's been seen with replacement jewelry on his, you know, rings and around his neck ever since. And to think that the people who live in his housing complex, they don't have decent water. They have leaks, roaches, and mice. And you walking around with this kind of money on your body. Can you imagine that? And you live in a $3.1 million palatial mansion. So, yeah, something wrong with that. You call yourself a bishop and people are living like that underneath you? Well, what really got him put in the news was because they said that he was evicting people. Now, can you imagine living in those conditions and somebody talking about they're going to evict you? And it's a bishop? I tell you. So, you know, you may want to take some of that jewelry and kind of get rid of it so you can take care of the people of God here on earth. Because that there, ain't nobody feeling that. No. And that's the first thing I noticed yesterday was his hanger. And I'm like, how much does that ring cost? Could that even repair four apartments? You know, if it could repair one apartment, you know, that would be a blessing. You know, I remember him also saying, you know, that he doesn't have to stop being flashy. Well, my brother, if you got housing complexes where people are complaining that they don't have the basics, then I think right then and there, you need to stop being so flashy. Because people gonna talk about you. And do you know that his wife is an ordained minister as well? Yeah. So if your husband is running this slum yard, then shame on you too. Shame on you too, because if you're a woman of God, then you should be pulling his coattail. And I wouldn't be taking no pictures with him. No. There are pictures, you know, in the article of them and their family with two of the girls that they have. And I believe they have four children. Two of the four children. And there's pictures of him and her, you know, the wife. And I wouldn't be taking no pictures with you. No. If I voice that, listen, you need to do something about these apartments. fix them up so people can live decently, fix them up so you can get the fair market value of the home in the rent, and you don't seek my advice or you don't do anything about what I said, then we ain't taking no pictures together. If ain't nobody looking at me like I'm helping this, because if you look at the picture of her, she got a rope around her neck of a cross. That cost $5. Yeah, that cross cost some money on her body as well. Remember, when they robbed them in the church, it was him and her that they were supposedly, you know, had collected this $1 million between the two of them. So that means you all plussed out too. So shame on you too. All right. So, I don't know about these people, but I tell you one thing. You don't need to be no clergy, and they can snag you for being a slum lord. I don't care. You just barely making ends meet. You know, they should do like they did in the movie, and make them live in that apartment. Oh, yeah. I bet you that place would be turned up then. Yeah, because you don't remember how it is to live until you got to live in it. And he's a homeboy from around the way because he was born and raised in Brooklyn. So he's got this big palatial home that he's living in. But he's claiming to have one of the biggest housing complexes in the state of New Jersey. So do something. Do something. You know? I don't know. This seems kind of off balance for me. And again, these church folks, what you doing? What are you doing to showcase God? I don't know. Well, that's how we spend our Tuesday. So today is Wild Wednesday, everybody. Yes, and we are so happy to be together today, another day that the Lord has given us. We have to share. All right? So before we get started with our girlfriend Vivian and her socially conscious segment, we're going to make sure that we get that healthy breakfast. We're going to make sure that we tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And we're going to make sure we don't go nowhere because we'll be right back.
When you lick spoons and pacifiers, you share bacteria that causes tooth decay in your child's mouth.
Go, go, go!
These bacteria feed our sugar,
yum, sugar, yum,
and leave behind acids that cause cavities, holes, and then pain. This assault is 100% preventable. Brush and floss twice a day to keep the cavities away. Moms, it's up to you. Healthy habits for a healthy smile.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday, everybody. Yes. God has graciously ushered us into another day and into the middle of the week. Can you believe we are already like halfway out of the week already? Man, time is flying by and is waiting for no one. So we're giving God thanks that we can all smile, we can all say that we're happy and healthy. And if you don't want to say you're happy, I'll say you're happy. Okay, you're happy. If you're with us, you should be happy because we always have something to smile about here on the Street Time with Pastor Steph. I don't care what day it is. I don't care what due time food is gathered. We are always in very good spirits. So if you're not, you definitely want to hang out with us. Okay? All right. Well, we got our girl Vivian on with her socially conscious segment. Good morning, Viv.
Excuse me. Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well. Thank you. Is that how you greet me? happy to have you with us today. And what you got for us? What you got for us?
Okay. Today on Socially Conscious, we are starting with a scam notice. So, you know, we like to keep you all aware of trending scams and how to avoid them if possible. And today, that trending scam is Amazon Prime, or at least it is included in the scam. According to reports, they're saying that hundreds of websites with similar names to Amazon has popped up during Prime Day in July. Many of them are fake. And if you don't know, we are currently in or just past a Prime Day since yesterday. And a man in California said he had just pushed the button to order something for his dog on Amazon when he received an alert about fraudulent activity on his Amazon account. He called the number from the alert, and while on the call, the scammer used an app to take remote control of the man's phone. He said he was going to refund the man the $28.13 that he had just spent on this dog care product, but claimed that the system did not accept the decimal point. So instead of the refund of $28.13, the man took $2,813 out of his account. And he did it twice. Once he did one through Venmo and another through Zelle. So altogether, he was able to take $5,626 from this man. And so they are getting very clever. Somehow they are getting people right after a transaction. And it makes it more believable. Because you're like, hey, I just was on Amazon. I just made a purchase. And now you're seeing this fraudulent activity. So he believes him and he got. So, of course, as always, be wise. Don't give out any information. And I'm pretty sure before they allow someone to take remote control of your phone, they ask you first. So never allow anyone to take remote control access of your device when you are talking with them about anything. Just be careful out there, people. And speaking of scams, reports say a 30-year-old man from upstate New York was arrested on Sunday for allegedly faking his son's death so he could rack up on donations and sympathy, according to New York State Police. His name was Caleb D. Stevens. He told his coworkers that he needed money for a funeral for his son, who he said had just passed away from stage 3 leukemia at St. Jude's Hospital on August 4th, according to police. However, investigators found out that Stevens' son was not sick, nor was he dead. They alleged that he made up the story to get money and sympathy. So Stevens is now being charged with defrauding at least two people who gave him a $1,000 check and $500 in cash to help with the expenses of his son's death. Now, most people don't like speaking death on their loved ones, and especially when it comes to their kids. But apparently, Mr. Stevens ain't have no issues there, and he is now facing up to 8 years in prison for this fraudulent activity. And speaking of scumbags, our next story takes the scumbag trophy. According to reports, a victim believed to be in his 40s or 50s was crossing the street near West 44th Street and 8th Avenue around 11:30 a.m. on Thursday when he was struck by a truck hauling construction equipment. The victim suffered severe trauma to his head and body and was pronounced dead at the scene, but not before some scumbag went and pickpocketed the man as he lay there dead and or dying. Police say when they arrived at the scene, the victim did not have a wallet or any form of identification on him, so police have not been able to identify the victim, and it has been nearly a week since his death. People are just sick. That is just crazy. This man just got hit by a truck. He's laying there dead, dying or and or dead, and your first thought is to, let me go through his pockets. Like, that is just crazy. Next, we have a quick update on student loan debt forgiveness. According to reports, a new court filing says that Biden says student debt will not be canceled before October 23rd. The filing was in response to a lawsuit filed by Republicans attempting to block the policy, and a federal judge will hear arguments this week on whether to halt the debt relief or not. So there is a fight going on. So if you're like me, waiting for some good news in that regard, stay tuned and I'll keep you posted as things unfold. Again, as of right now, there are no forms to fill out, no need to send anyone any information. Things are still on hold, so don't be scammed. And now for our wow story of the week. I thought this listener-submitted story would make for great conversation. So out in Illinois, they are working on passing a law to end cash bail, which people have nicknamed this law the Purge Law. So to try to make a long story short, they're saying that there are 12 non-detainable offenses which the new law would end cash bail for. Those laws include second-degree murder, arson, drug-induced homicide, robbery, kidnapping, aggravated battery, burglary, intimidation, aggravated driving under the influence, fleeing and eluding, drug offenses, and threatening a public official. So as of January 1st of 2023, the SAFE-T Act will commence in the state of Illinois. They are saying the reason for this law is because many people believe cash bails are criminalizing poverty. Most in detention can't afford the bail and spend weeks or even months awaiting trial. The system mostly affects communities of color who already have the odds stacked against them across the country. So by passing this law, it would allow people to await trial out of jail. With the SAFE-T Act, it would allow criminals a pre-trial release for the crimes listed above. And if prosecutors fail to show clear and convincing evidence that the alleged could be a threat to a specific individual, they will be released. And I definitely think this is scary because oftentimes here on this broadcast alone, we hear of stories of people who have harmed and or killed somebody while they are out on bail. So to now take bail off the table completely just makes it that much easier for things to go left. And we already have lawyers that defend people that they know are guilty or they don't really care to do their jobs, so they leave it up to the prosecutors, to prove that this person that just killed a family of four because they were driving while intoxicated would not get drunk and get behind the wheel again before trial, it just baffles me. But this has been Vivian with The Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories that you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me. My username on Facebook is VivianBM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. I need some help here, please. Please give me a list of those charges where they're trying to dismiss this bail for. So give them to me again, please.
Sure. Excuse me. The law includes second-degree murder, arson, drug-induced homicide, excuse me, robbery, kidnapping, aggravated battery, burglary, intimidation, aggravated driving under the influence, fleeing and eluding, drug offenses, and threatening a public official.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, Viv. Please hang around, as I always ask, just in case, you know, we got that extra question. Thank you so much for a fantastic job, as always. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well.
All righty. Well, as always, Vivian gives us something to talk about. Let's say good morning to our Elder Natisha. Good morning, Elder Natisha.
Good morning. Good morning, beautiful lady. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I am good. I am blessed. No complaint at all.
Good. Very good. All righty. We got some stuff here to talk about. And we got a little bit of time to chat. So you pick the first topic. Let's put it like that. Because we all going to talk about this stuff here today.
Okay. Let's see. I think, you know what, let's talk about the man who was hit by the truck and some person decides that while he's laying on the floor dying to rob the poor man. I think, again, that goes along with how we see today, where people, instead of calling 911, you see an incident,
right.
You see people fighting, you see people dying. The first thing we do is want to pull out our phones, you know, and start recording and you know, screaming world star and just all kind of things. And I think this just continues in that same vein where, again, there's just no respect. We are living in a lawless land, a land where there's just no respect, times where there's no respect for humanity, you know. And so, you know, we've talked about it. You've heard me say it before. How there was a time when we would walk past the church and we would, you know, make the cross. You wouldn't curse. You know, you wouldn't drink in front of the church. You know, you would give your seat to women. You would give your seat to the elderly. You don't see these things happening anymore. There is a disregard for life. There was a disregard for order. There was a disregard for all these things. And so this is another display of that. This man is on the floor dying, and you, instead of taking out your phone to call for help, you would decide to rob him at a time like that.
Wow. Too much, Elder Natisha. You know, as you were talking, I'm just envisioning in here, you know, somebody lying in, you're kind of standing around, and while other people are, you know, dialing 911, screaming, get help, you actually see someone run over there, going through a pocket. It's got to be. I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this world
unbelievable.
Is it is. It actually is.
And that it can't even identify the body. Because it can't even identify the body. Because you didn't took the man's wallet. So his family probably has declared him missing. Like, I just, really, sir? Really? Even if you were going to take the money and leave this man's wallet, why would you just?
Unbelievable. You know, it's like, you know, where some people think of this, the other people think of that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's the part that's, like you said, scary. Because you've got so many varying thoughts. And, you know, you just go into, I'd be too scared. I don't know. You know, I always say, you know, I have a tagline. You know, you people trifle with God a little too much for me. I can't about doing some of this stuff that people find. You know, I don't care how desperate I was, Elder Natisha. I don't care how desperate I was. But before I go any further, thank you so much for joining us. Let me not steal something that, you know, Lady Tamiko Shanti want to say, you know. Let me give them a chance to speak on this topic. Good morning, Lady Tamiko.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday to you, our ladies, and, of course, our listeners.
Oh, thank you. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. We're talking about this senseless robbery, you know, of a man who is lying there dying or dead after being hit by a truck. And the only thing you could do, if you could think to do, is to go through his pocket.
Exactly. You know, instead of helping, you know, I just look at a lot of things in this world. And instead of helping him, you decided to help yourself to his wallet, you know. And just like Elder Natisha said, why not leave his ID? What was the crime in leaving the ID? You could take the money, you could take the cash, you know. But then I start thinking about our conversation yesterday with the person stealing the, you know, the EBT card and all of that.
Right.
So you have access to credit cards because nobody knows that he's gone. You know, and that you also have access to his ID. Here's my ID. Oh, you need my ID? Okay, here's my ID. You know, and so that's a sad situation that you would rather, instead of continuing or allowing or assisting or even being the name that helps somebody, you know, get out of this, you know, a situation like that, near death, you decide, it's not even worth it. Let me just take what they got. You know, the little that they have left, or much, depending on what it is. But still, you know, I honestly would be petrified. You know, I'm petrified going into, you know, oh, you, this for free. No. That's not what it says on the label. Take it. No. You know, we're talking about taking it from somebody who can't fight back. You know, I think that's horrible.
It is. It is so senseless. And, you know, for somebody who, you know, who's lying there. My thing is, can you imagine lying there dying and knowing that somebody's doing this to you and you can't do anything about it? Let's say good morning, Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thanks. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Good. We're talking about the man who got hit by the truck, lying there either dying or dead. And instead of getting help, you go into his pocket and rob him of his ID, money, and anything else on his possession.
Well, there's a name for a person like that in the streets. But that's disgusting. So it's like, were you walking the streets with that on your mind? Like, okay, I'm just waiting to see who I can pickpocket. You know, can I get close to somebody as we're crossing the street? I was waiting for the light to change or what, and then now you see this man get hit and you figure, bam, that's my opportunity. That's disgusting.
Yeah, it that's something to think about. That's something to think about. Like, what was on your mind that nobody knew this was going to happen? And then when it did happen, that was the first thing that came to your mind, you know. And right before you came on, I said, you know, I'm thinking about the man lying there dying, not able to do anything, and feeling somebody going through your pockets like that. Oh, my gosh, I tell you. You know what? God help this world, because this here really shows how, you know, not only lawless, but just, oh my gosh, the word is escaping me now. Thank you so much for joining me, ladies. Lady Tamika, what's your story outside of our wow story? What story do you want to talk about today?
I wanted to talk about the man who decided, you know, I need some extra cash, so you know, I'm gonna tell everybody that my child has passed away. You know, people have compassion. You know, we're talking about our child. You know, I remember back in the day, you know, when you're trying to come up with a way to say that you're not coming into work. You know, the one thing that we would say, oh, don't say, you know, grandma's sick. Don't do that, because you know, before you know it, now all of a sudden, you decided not so much that my child is sick and I need a little help. You decided to kill your little child. Now, you know, suppose somebody, one of your coworkers, you know, that knows your child goes by. Wait a minute, didn't you say that? Wait a minute, how many? You only have one child, and that's the child you said. You know, and so I'm glad that, you know, he's getting repercussions. You can't just tell somebody that, you know, something. And I gave you not just a little bit. I gave you resources to be able to help you. And this is what you do. This is why we said we got to be real, real wise as those who are receivers of news. You got to use your discernment, because this is the type of stuff that people are doing. You know, and my heart goes out to the individuals who are compassionate enough to provide those type of resources and had those resources on them. The feeling that they must feel, like, I trusted you. I mean, I wouldn't think that you would lie about your child, you know. And so now I distrust you, and, you know, the repercussions that they may go through by the fact that, you know, I was trying to be there for you, you know. So my heart just goes out to those that were affected by that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Shanties, what's your thought on someone who would collect $1,000 check from one person, $500 from another person, and because your child is dead, died from stage 3, is that what Vivian said? I think that's what she said, stage 3 leukemia cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, people like that turn this into a career. They go, they have parents who travel from state to state with this scam. So they go, they're in New York, and now they say their child is sick with something, or their child is dying, and some of them go as far as to even keep their child sick or make their child sick, so that if anyone should happen to see them physically, you know, literally, they say, oh my gosh, your child is sick, and now they can start this GoFundMe and raise thousands and thousands of dollars, and now they pick up from New York, and now they go to Florida, and they do the same thing until they get caught. Like, they go on this My Child is Sick tour, collecting all this, and this becomes a career for them. Meanwhile, either the child stays sick or is made sick, because it's but for so long you're going to be able to keep your child out of sight, out of mind, while people are just blindly sending you money. Somebody going to want to see a picture or something. And if your child look like they're okay, now the questions are going to start to surface. But if your child looks sick, especially if the people don't really know you like that, they're not going to really start asking so many questions, because to them it's just, oh, your child looks okay, your child is sick. No one's going to think you're lying. But again, there's a word in the streets for that. But you're just disgusting. I don't understand how this becomes a career. You know, when you sit and you think about, what do I want to be, or how am I going to, you know, get money to take care of myself and my child and my children, and this is what you do. It's just horrible.
Well, and I've seen stories, you know, we've had stories here on a due time where, you know, parents have lied and carted their children around. So, yes, this stuff is real. Elder Natisha, you know, this is a passion of yours. You know, you work for the American Cancer Society. You see the statistics. You see how many people, maybe how many children, you know, die, you know, each year from this. How could anyone just senselessly lie to get a couple of dollars? Because that's all it is at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it does. It's horrible because it makes people distrusting, and it desensitizes people from individuals who really are suffering and from people who really do need the support. You know, it desensitizes the community, because you think about the person who, you know, gave of their resources to someone just to find out that it was a lie. And so now when someone or an organization really has a real need, it makes you just distrusting, and you don't want to. You don't want to have to try to do all the work that's involved with research to make sure that, you know, it's credible, the organization or person is credible. And so it really does. It makes it that much harder. And, you know, what Chartice was talking about is a real mental illness. It's called Munchausen or something like that. And, you know, people really, it's a mental disease that people actually have with making their children sick and making, you know, coming up with these stories and things of that nature for the purpose of attention, right? Like there definitely is mental illness there. There's definitely, you know, something that is going on in the mind of a person who would, for the sake of attention and money, because it's both of those things. It's, you know, wanting the sympathy, wanting the attention of others, and also getting those finances that would cause a person to do it. That's mental illness. There's something wrong. There's something missing. There's something broken. In the mind and in the heart of that person, one, that you would even use your own child for that you would wish death, right, or upon your child for the purpose of a dollar. I mean, that's sick. That's sick. What kind of person does that, except one that needs salvation, one who needs God, one who needs healing, one who needs a therapist?
Big time. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was thinking about what Lady Tamika said, you know, years ago when you were calling to work and, you know, you didn't exhaust it, all of your excuses as to why. Wasn't me, because I was always at work. But for those who, you know, you would always, when you did call in and you wasn't, and you really weren't ill or anything like that, you just watched what you said. It was just, you weren't so lucid putting stuff on grandma or the kids. Because your first thought was, I'm not saying that, because when I look up, so also really will be sick. It's just stuff that you didn't do. It almost goes back to what you were saying, you know, a minute ago.
you know, it was just people just didn't disrespect the church. People just didn't do this. People just didn't do that. Mm-hmm. That was just something that you didn't do. You just did not. You surely yeah. didn't put the word on your mama, mm-mm. your kid, your grandma. Mm-mm. You might say it's your uncle. You know, if you didn't like the father, you might say it was him. But that's just not areas you touch. And now it's yeah. like nothing is forbidden. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing is forbidden. So it's like, where do you go next? You know, and to
yeah.
think.
Because we don't believe. Because uh-huh. we don't believe anymore that that life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Right.
So you just
right.
say
right.
anything. But if you really understood
right.
and believe that the power of life and death is in your tongue, would you really be saying, my child has died?
Right, right.
If you
right.
really believe
right.
that, you know?
Right, right. And that's what we were always afraid of. It was just, I don't,
mm-hmm.
you didn't even have to be a Christian. You just would do certain things. And like you said,
right.
you know, people are not thinking of the magnitude in which they're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So now anything goes. Anything goes so I can get what I need. You know, so, you know, imagine someone putting a $1,000 check in your hand. Imagine somebody putting $500 of cash in your hand. You know, these people may have it, but it was hard to come by. You know, you
mm-hmm.
had to do something to get the money. So I don't know. I don't know, ladies. You know, we are just... As where's Pastor Kim when you need her? You know, we in our last
and evil days.
Right.
Yes, mm-hmm. because, you know, this is a scary thought that people could just say stuff and do stuff and they don't think anything of it. Shanti, what story do you want to talk about today?
I think the only story that hasn't been touched on yet is the Amazon scam.
And the student loan forgiveness that they said is no longer.
I'm sorry?
And the student loan debt forgiveness that they say is on hold now.
Oh yeah. Well, everybody's been. I'm so tired of hearing about student loan. It's like, I'll stick to the Amazon Prime story. Again, something that has been made into a career. You know, people making fake phone numbers and fake websites to lure people in to shop and put their personal information. And now here you take, so you claim you went to go refund the money, but the system messed with the numbers. And not only once, but twice. How convenient for you. It's just really sad that the time, I always think like, I just never had the patience to be a crook. It's just way too much thinking that's involved and entailed. And if I use all of that time and skill and energy to do that, how dope would I be as a legitimate businesswoman? Like, I don't think any of them think of this. Because in order to be a crook and a scammer successfully, because you're going to get caught eventually, and I don't know why. It's like prostitution. It's like the second oldest thing that, you know, scam, or everyone is like into scamming, and one of the first things come to mind is, so you didn't hear about the other 5 billion people who have done this, who have eventually gotten caught. But in order to have any level of real success as a scammer, you have to really know what you're doing. And if you were to take the time to put that into something constructive, you could really prosper into something where you don't have to keep looking over your shoulder or thinking that there's an end date to this. You know, and I really feel sorry for, especially, you know, you're talking about something like prom day where people figure, oh, I can go shopping and I can get discounts and, you know, what I would normally pay for the price of one thing, I could probably get 2 or 3 things, maybe 4 things. But yet you have someone just sitting on the side, just waiting, sitting by their computer, just waiting for you to put your information in to take it. It's sad.
My question is, how are they getting access to your stuff like this?
So you, you know, you go and you make a purchase in Amazon, a legitimate purchase, and someone is able to pull your stuff, you know, and now call you and get all this information from you. And it's like, and just like Vivian said, it's very easy to do it because you just made the purchase. Elder Natisha, I mean, you really got to be doing, like Shanti said, you really got to be doing some work in order to, you know, get this kind of ability to snag people right after they make a purchase.
You do, and it's what the Bible talks about, right? It's the love of money, right, is the cause of destruction. It leads to destruction. And so I think, you know, when you think about the fact that you are wise enough, talented enough to pull this off, you are technologically sound enough to be able to do this, right, to set this all up, to be able to remotely go into a person's, take control of a person's phone, like the level of equipment you've invested in, the level of time and skill that it has taken for you to be able to just accomplish it, that could have been used for doing something more constructive. But I think it's the love of money. It's the fast money. He was just able to get $4,000 in 10 minutes. And what field can you get $4,000 in 5 minutes, right? Like what occupation could you actually, you know, be in where you can make $4,000, you know, besides maybe the stock exchange, you can make that kind of money so quickly? And so I think it all boils down to the love of money being the root of evil. It's the love of money that drives these individuals to put all of their efforts into it to be able to make a quick buck.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lady Tamika, you know, you really got some time on your hands. And it's quite lucrative, as the ladies have said. Quite lucrative. Might take some time. But, hey, I'm coming off in a quick amount of time.
You think about all of the ways that people do things or acquire money illegally, let's put it that way. They don't have to work for it. You know, whether it's standing outside and asking for change, you know, something, you know, that we see on a daily basis. And that's dismissing those who actually have a need. I'm talking about those who manipulate people. You know, my child is, you know, such and such. My child needs help. My child is, you know, in a stroller bound. He can't walk. And you're looking at the bottom of the shoes, and the shoes look like, you know, every day this child is going to school or whatever. You know, there are people who have that mindset every day. You know, they're thinking of things, thinking of ways to get over. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to work. You know, you can provide me. You know, whether it's somebody, a neighbor that's always asking you, can I have $20 till I get my check next week? You ain't never seen them get their check yet. You still waiting. It's been a year, and you still waiting for that $20 that you got. You know, it's a mentality. I'm going to get what I need. Doesn't just, you know, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. Even down to the gentleman that took the money out of the man's pocket. I'm not thinking about you. I just want to get what's due me, however it is that I'm going to get it, you know, and the mindset that it takes. You get out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. I start work at 8 o'clock. I got to meet you while you asking me for change, and you live next door. You know, it drives me crazy. The mentality of give me, give me, give me, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you personally are going through, you went out of your way. That $500 might have been life to you. However, I'm considering about your child. I'm considering about what it takes to bury your child, but I'm looking out for you. And so, again, my heart keeps going out to these people who are providing resources, who are manipulated, you know. And I myself have gotten got. but I caught it before they were able to take resources from me. What automatically happens, if you ever get an email that says, even sometimes down to the delivery man, he can't find your address, you know, and it's an inbound email, meaning that you didn't send for it. Because what happened was I purchased something, and maybe days after that I got an email from Amazon stating that the truck couldn't find my my address. Shortly after that, I had enough common sense to go into, because when I got the email, it came to my phone. And I said, you know what, let me go into my Amazon account. And immediately my Amazon account was locked. So I used another venue that they knew nothing about, another computer, to change my password. Because they were trying to get me, and they were trying to get me real good. So you have to be very wise. You have to be wiser than them. If something doesn't look right, if something doesn't feel right, if something doesn't smell right, make the move to consciously change. Changing your password helps you every day, every time, just to keep yourself from being manipulated.
Absolutely, absolutely. We just, last week, you know, there was a notice from New York State of all, you know, the police department, of all of these scams that are taking place now. So you really got to be on the ball. You really got to be on the ball, because people are just all over the place with these different scams. Oh, our wow story. Now, Illinois is passing a law to end cash bail for second-degree murder, arson, drug-induced homicide, robbery, aggravated battery, kidnapping, intimidation, driving under the influence, drug offenses, fleeing and eluding, and threatening public officials. Excuse me. you know, why even bother to arrest them? That's my question. Why are we even bothering to arrest people anymore? We have done these stories here. We have seen it's getting to be a mess. Boy, if this ain't a change of the world. And I'm going to start with you, Elder Natisha.
We are living in the last and evil days. I've even heard it said that we are at the end of the end times. I've even heard that statement. That is chilling to, you know, to even hear it that way, the end of the end times. My daughter had told me about this. She was like, Mom, you know, they bringing the purge to real life. I was like, what? Like the purge. They're bringing the purge to real life. And so they're calling it it's so interesting. They're calling it the purge law. Here's the thing, right? When I look at this list, I do think some of these things, right, it makes sense for looting, intimidating, right? Some of these things, threatening a public official, I don't think that a person needs to sit in jail in order to await a trial. I think where it gets scary is when we say second-degree murder, when we say drug-induced homicide. Now, I don't know if that is self-inflicted, right? Drug-induced homicide is self-inflicted, so like, or if that's, you know, can't be self-inflicted. It's something you've done to someone else. Like, I think some of these, I don't think that you have to necessarily be sitting in jail, because the system is corrupt, and I think that's what it boils down to. It boils down to the fact that we have a corrupt system, and so we're trying to find ways to put the system back on level ground, level playing field, because it has not. The system has been corrupt, and it has been used as a weapon against black and brown people. That's just the truth. And so some of these harsh laws and things that they put in place, they were geared toward us. Blue-collar crimes, they don't have bail assigned to blue-collar crimes. They are able to be able to get out of jail and await their trial in the comfort of their own home, and then they have to report
to the courthouse or even report to jail if they're found guilty on their own terms. But when it came to urban communities with black and brown people, it was then that if a young man or a young woman was picked up on robbery, that they could actually sit in jail for up to years before they even have a trial. There was a young black man who was arrested. He committed suicide while he was awaiting trial because he was sitting in Rikers Island for up to like 3 years. And that man, was that boy was in there. He had been raped. He had been, all kind of stuff happened to him. Come to find out, he was innocent for the thing they picked him up for. So while we look at this, right, I mean, I think that there's two sides to it, and I think that it really is a corrupt system that they're trying to create a level playing field for, because this has been used against black and brown people to weaponize. It's been a weapon used against us for a very long time. A young guy picked up for having marijuana on him, and he got to sit in Rikers Island for a year before he ever goes to trial? That's not right. That's not right, because he can't afford bail, and that's what they're trying to correct. If you don't have money and you don't have $5,000 to put up, your family don't own a home to put up to get you out of there, you are stuck sitting in jail for a year or 2 years, and then the crime that you were even convicted of or arrested for doesn't even give that amount of time. And so most times they'll say, oh, well, time already serves. Because if you were picked up for a bag of, for having weed or marijuana or for robbery or something like that, and you just sat in jail for 3 years waiting for a trial date because you didn't have bail money, and then when you finally go to trial, the sentencing is for robbery, let's say a year or two, you'd have sat there for 3 and 4 years. So it's been weaponized against our people. So when we look at this, right, it is scary. And I do think that some of these things that are on here, really, I don't think second-degree murder should be a part of that. But I do think, or kidnapping it. I mean, but again, it's how, right, who gets to decide these things? But when we look at it, we also have to know the full scope of the story as well, you know?
All righty. Lady Tamika, what's your thought on this list and whether these people should be released from even having bail?
Well, when you're talking about stuff like that, you have to look at, you know, the dynamic. You know, a lot of times you have people who, for whatever reason, you know, don't have a bank account. You know, let's think about, you know, Big Mama and them. You know, their mentality is, you know, they kept stuff in the, you know, in the couches or, you know, in the bed mattress, you know, and that type of thing. And so now you're saying no bail, you know, and it's just, I get tired because it's like, how do you justly judge people? We have a whole lot of innocent people that are serving real time, you know, and then you find out either after their death, you know, because they've been sitting in jail just waiting, or, you know, it becomes extremely difficult to judge one situation from another, because you're not always going to be right. And so a lot of times you're going to be wrong, because we have a whole lot of people that have served time that have done nothing.
All right. All right. Shanti, how do you weigh in on this new law of no bail? Are you talking to the mute button?
Sorry. Yes, I just want to make sure I'm getting this correct. So the people who have committed the listed crimes, they do the crime, they get arrested, but then they're let go?
Okay. Okay. So here's how this works, just like anybody, what it normally does. So you're arrested, and you go for the arraignment.
You're being arraigned on second-degree murder, arson, drug-induced homicide, robbery, aggravated battery, kidnapping, intimidation, driving under the influence, drug offenses, fleeing and eluding, and threatening public officials. This is what you're being arraigned on. And while you're being arraigned, they can say, well, no bail, or $5,000, or $10,000, or $100,000. But what they're passing this law where it says you don't have to worry about getting bail if you're charged with these offenses. Now, let me just make sure I'm understanding this correctly. Am I explaining this correctly? Vivian, am I explaining this correctly?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Okay, thank you. Thank you. All righty. Okay, so we're weighing in on whether we agree or not, or whatever you want to say.
Well, for someone who has watched all the Purge movies, unfortunately, I knew it was a matter of time before this would actually start to creep its way into the judicial system or whatever system it is, the law. It's not all that surprising because we have been witness to the public officials and the powers that be, whomever has these seats, just get slower and slower. Their decision-making is horrible. And it was funny because I was just speaking on, I just saw last week how Biden was decriminalizing marijuana. And my first response and thought was, that's stupid. Because it's one thing to say we're not going to treat it as this crime. But it's another thing to say I'm going to decriminalize it for whatever, because it's only a matter of time before it goes from decriminalizing weed to now decriminalizing rapists and pedophiles and crack dealers and this, that, and the third. That's all I kept envisioning. Is today it's weed, tomorrow it's I throw you off a building, and that's now decriminalized. And now we're seeing in the state of Illinois that you can pretty much wake up and decide to do whatever and not have to worry about any consequences and repercussions. And I'm it's sad, but I'm really not surprised. And this again just has me thinking about, what we always talk about when we say the world doesn't want God, and God is just falling back slowly. Bit by bit, he's just falling back. He's still very much in control. He's still very much protecting, those who are striving and, as we say, going hard to make sure that we stay on point with him. However, at the same time, we're now watching the unfolding of all of the people that we praise are now helping us to be victims of all of this buffoonery that's going on around us. I think it's very remedial, and it's crazy how I was just saying that, and, other people I was talking to, I was like, oh, well, I understand. I want to say this is stupid. He's stupid. It's because it's only a matter of time. Unfortunately, the way people in a hole operate out here, you give them an inch, they take a mile. You have to put your foot down with everything. And again, I do agree that, when it comes to certain things, it does not mean that that has to take the stance of something else on that level. Again, so you may not treat someone who has marijuana possession with someone who has raped someone. Absolutely not. But does it mean that whoever has marijuana possession should not be dealt with at all? Absolutely not, because this is what you now end up with. Now everybody's just free to do whatever. So I saw this coming. I'm just happy that the first state wasn't New York.
Okay. Now I'm going to read this here again, because maybe I'm a little slow this morning. Second degree murder. You murdered somebody. Arson.
That means you said something on fire. Drug-induced homicide. Whether you, somebody, if somebody drugged you and you killed somebody, or if you drugged yourself and you killed somebody. Robbery. Such as a man laying in the street, dying, and somebody picks his pocket. Aggravated battery. That's your attacking someone. Kidnapping. That's holding somebody without their permission. Intimidation. That is so broad that it's scary. Driving under the influence. How many people have gotten hit and killed or an accident? Drug offenses. That's the only thing questionable for me. Fleeing and eluding. Based on what you're fleeing and eluding from. And threatening. Whether it's a public official or anybody. Every single day, I do a 4 stories a day. And every single one of those stories fits. I would say without with the exception of those two, the drug offenses and the fleeing and the looting, because those can be kind of broad and it can be a minor thing. They fall into these categories. And I cannot imagine personally that there would be any of these things against Stephanie. And I would want to see somebody walk on bail with no bail. Of course, we don't want to see people, you know, in Rikers or any other facility being held, you know, if they're not guilty, you know. But again, I guess that's why you go to trial. But they have been becoming very mild and light when it comes to this bail reform. And we've seen it happen right here. Every week I'm doing a story on when they let somebody out. I think it's been for the past 2 months we're talking about people who have been repeat offenders of these very things that's on this list. And then we find out they killed somebody. We find out they did this. They find out that they did that. How in the world are we talking about no bail for someone who's charged for second-degree murder? Somebody who arson? You would know. Not for Stephanie. I'm sorry. I'm looking at this stuff. We're not talking about weed. We're not talking. That's why I said even the drug offenses. It depends on what the offense is. Because, again, if it's you holding weed, then are you really going to, you know, clog up the prison system with those people? But I'm sorry. If this is where you're going, or this is what you have to face when you're pending trial. We're not talking about post-trial. And, again, I understand we don't want anybody to be sitting behind bars who, you know, who is not guilty. But how do we ever find out if they're guilty? And then if we allow them to walk the street, now we're gambling that they are guilty. So now what happens when they kill someone else? I can't wrap my head around. Maybe I need a little more time on that one. But that's a little, this particular list is what I'm challenging. I'm not challenging that everything should have bail, because there, again, that the drug offenses and the, you know, the small things, maybe you could let go and you don't give them bail. But this list here I'm looking at, and arson, you're being charged for potentially setting something on fire. Well, unfortunately, it's going to take the due process to find out if you are really guilty of that. So
that's the purpose. That's where I land. Everything that we just said would be assuming that the person arrested is guilty of the said crime that they've been arrested for.
Not guilty. I beg to differ. Not guilty, but possibly guilty.
That's what I'm saying. We're assuming guilt before they've gone to trial. The only purpose of bail is to ensure that a person who was arrested returns to court for trial. That's what bail does.
Absolutely. So what happens when this person who is guilty, because again, every day we're doing stories here. Every day we're doing stories on repeat offenders. Somebody who they didn't let out 15 times. Oh, no, don't let. Look at the subway attackers. Those people, almost all of those people have been let go, no bail, and then only to commit the crime. And my terminology is a little different. To see if you're possibly guilty, yeah, right. You want to make sure they come back. They don't always come back. They don't. So even setting bail ain't going to guarantee them. But that, like I said, I agree that every single thing that they're posting, you know, they're giving people bail for, nah, you might collect it. This stuff here on this list, second degree murder, arson, intimidation. How many women are killed every year because somebody intimidated them? So because we just holding them, we don't want to make sure, you know, we want to make sure they come back to court. These women have even had papers on the table right in front of them, and now the man comes back and kills them. There was just a story we did yesterday with the guy cut up the woman and put her in the suitcase. He had been intimidating her. So you let him walk out because you want to make sure he returns to court, which ain't no guarantee either way. But now you let him walk. So you don't set any bail at all.
But these people don't even care about returning to court. These people, it's I did it, and all I need, I'm going to come back. I don't have a problem with coming back. I just need you to let me out for 2 days so I can kill her or him or them. I don't have a problem with coming back. The question is, what happens to the people who have been caught in the act of setting things on fire, or caught with the weapon in their hand, caught with the gun or the knife, or they strangled someone with a cord or something in their hand, so there's no doubt that they have committed this crime. You're now saying that you're just letting them go. Because not everyone is an assumption. There are a lot of cases where emphatically it is known that this is what you did. And this is why a lot of the lawyers go and fight for no bail. Because whether it's a strong assumption or whether it's a fact, they don't need to be out. This is why a lot of them fight. They fight hard. They fight hard. They don't even care about the trial. The trial is not even on their mind yet. The whole thing is, I have to make sure this person does not get bail, because they cannot walk the streets another second, because it's like, I know once they walk the streets, something else is going to happen. They could care less about being brought right back up in here. They'll probably call the cop. Okay, come pick me up. I'm on a corner of 59th. Come get me. I'm about to shoot them. I don't care about going back. I just want the satisfaction of getting this done. That's the mindset of a lot of people now. Jail is nothing to a lot of people now.
Well, what I'm introducing is not a right or wrong. I'm not standing on a right or wrong. What I'm introducing to the conversation here is the half dozen in one, half dozen in the other. And when we say that there's 11,500 people serving time in jail for something that they did not do, what I'm talking about is how the system has been used as a weapon against black and brown people. And so when we start looking at this conversation, it isn't just black and white. It's not like to just be kind of putting out there this idea of bail being a equal playing field. All I'm introducing is that it has not been for centuries. Our people, it's been used as a weapon against our people. When you look at 195,000 people annually convicted of a crime, and I get it. I understand the stories. So I live this life as well. But when we're saying that on an annual basis, if 195,000 people are convicted, that about 11,000 of them are wrongly convicted, let's then dig deeper. How many of the 11,000 are black and Hispanics. So when we look at this, I'm adding this to the conversation. For me, it's not a right or wrong as to whether, you know, it's not so black and white as to whether the idea of bail being taken off the table. Bail taken off the table doesn't mean a person is just free to go. That's not what that means, right? So because there are all kind of, and I know we've heard the stories about people still doing things with bands on their ankles and things of that nature. So it's not just created equal. It's not, there's no bail, and so now you just get to go. Like, there is house arrest. Like, there's all kind of things that are associated depending on the crime that you're being convicted of. So I just wanted to, you know, add that to the conversation, that I think a part of this, when we look at it, right, just looking at the crime rates and things of that nature, yes, we'll land like, oh, my God, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. But I think when we also think about what the idea, the purpose of bail is and how it's been weaponized against our people, I do think that's worth, you know, being part of the conversation.
Absolutely. And I don't think anyone is taking that away from the conversation. I think we all are aware and we are all considering the fact that, you know, when you weigh out everything, we have always gotten the bad end of the stick. These things have always been used against us more than for us. These things that fall into, these laws that they put into place, we suffer highly, much higher behind these laws than the other side of the fence, as I always say. So, of course, you know, no one's negating the fact that all of this has happened. No one is negating the fact that there's thousands and thousands of people who are sitting behind bars that should not belong there. It's a very sad, you know, it's extremely sad that people are experiencing this. However, these things always seem to work against us somehow at the end of the day as well. So, you know, I think everything is being taken into consideration. I think all the stuff is being introduced. And like I said, personally, if, you know, you were talking about some other offenses, I get it. I get it with even these offenses. And there are some people who are actually charged with these things, and they're not guilty. However, do we just set a blanket that says, okay, for these things, that's what I'm challenging. Are we setting a blanket? Because I haven't read the law. I haven't read what they're really putting out there. Are we setting a blanket statement that says, well, if these people come to the table, we're not going to give them any bail? No, everything to me needs to be taken into consideration. And with these level of offenses, despite the fact that people are sitting in jail behind bars, unfortunately, how do we get to, in other words, are we saying, are we going to take each case, it's going to be case by case? That's not what I'm necessarily hearing. That's not what Vivian read. If Vivian had read that, well, overall, what we're going to do is, we're considering eliminating bail for these things, but based on, you know, further investigation, we'll decide. That's a whole different story than for what I'm getting from this brief presentation, is that we're eliminating it altogether. Not remembering that people are sitting behind bars. Not dismissing the fact that this has been used against us as black and brown people. Absolutely. I'm black and brown, too. I get it. There's a whole lot of our sons and fathers and uncles and grandpas that are sitting behind. Look at the people with 20 years. They sat behind bars because back in the day, there was no DNA. So just because it looked like a preponderance of evidence. And these people have lost their 20 years of their life for your negligence because somebody pushed something under a rug or dismiss them. So I think all of this is being introduced into the conversation, and this is something that it needs to be considered. Everything needs to be weighed out. We can't blanketly, you know, no state should say we're going to dismiss all of this, if that's what they're saying. And with that piece not being included, it leads someone to believe that there could just be a blanket dismissal, and that's something that we also have to be careful of, because you don't want to let those people walk who are not innocent, more than you want the people who are sitting in there to be there, and they don't need to be there. This is a gamble. This is a big gamble, and unfortunately, this is, I think, it goes back to what I said before and what Shanti said. This is God just stepping back. Y'all want it? Have at it. Have at it. Have at it. Now, this is what we up against. Like you said, your daughter said the other night, Tisha, the purge is here for real. That's scary. That's scary. We have a comment from a listener, Shanti.
Yes, a listener sent in. Sorry, one second. They should probably put an ankle bracelet or something on them to monitor them. People have a way of disappearing to other states, and now more money is being spent to find them. And Vivian says she has more information to add.
Oh, okay. Thank you for your comment, listener. Thank you for your comment. Vivian, where's Vivian? Here we go. Vivian, what you got? Vivian?
Hello?
Okay, yes, we can hear you.
In terms of the investigation that you mentioned, they said, I was talking about that they're saying the prosecutors now that task of, proving without a shadow of a doubt whether this person is a danger to someone. Well, they're giving the prosecutors 48 hours to be able to gather whatever information that they need to gather to say whether or not this person should have bail or not. So I don't know. I guess that means maybe the person will sit in jail for at least 48 hours while they're gathering, that information or that evidence to say whether or not they should be held under bail or given bail or not. Maybe that might help with the investigation part that you brought up.
No, and that's what I'm talking about. That makes the difference. That makes the difference, Viv. That says that, all right, so at least for the first 48 hours, something could be pulled up. We know sometimes it takes longer than 48 hours, but at least
right.
That amount of time would be dedicated to seeing if this person could be more innocent than guilty. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That makes the difference in this conversation with this list for me. Thank you for clearing that up.
No problem.
All righty. Oh, little piece of information adds a lot. That's exactly what I was listening for. Thank you so much. All right. So we've got a couple of minutes. Thank you, ladies, for our socially conscious conversation. We got a couple of minutes for this Woman Scorned business. Last week we played a little game. I'm a Christian up until, and we talked about even being scorned, and how we handle that on the back end as women of God, as people of God. It's very difficult. It's very difficult, a lot of times, for women to walk away from, something that's happened, and you just kind of deal with it in the Christian manner, we should say. So one of the things we talked about was not talking about this thing to everybody. So we've nicely squared away that you need to speak to someone. Please do not walk around holding it. We also talked about letting it fester. Well, one of the other things that we talked that is on this list is don't retaliate. That is big for some women. Don't retaliate. And we'll start with you, Elder Nitesha.
I'm sorry, I missed it. What are we talking about?
Oh. We're talking about a woman scorned, and we started last week
with, you know, the things that we should not do, such as don't talk about it to everyone. We talked about don't let it fester. Mm-hmm. Well, this week, we're continuing our conversation, and one of the things that's on the list is don't retaliate. A woman scorned should not retaliate.
Okay, a woman scorned should not retaliate. I think, because I guess looking at what retaliate means. So to retaliate would mean to pay one almost like a tit for tat, going tit for tat. Because you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you, right? Because you hurt me, now I start singing, I bust the windows out your car, right? You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
It's that back and forth. which signifies you still being hurt, which still signifies you taking matters into your own hands and potentially putting yourself in harm's way. You don't feel better. I mean, you may feel better for a moment at the fact that you were able to do that and you think you did something, but that doesn't change what happened to you. That doesn't change what's in your heart. That doesn't change the emotional scars that still exist in you. So instead of utilizing your energy to try to hurt that person who hurt you, use that energy to heal. Use that energy to make sure that you never find yourself in that predicament again. You know, use your energy in a constructive manner. And so I think that's where the idea of, child, don't even waste time with retaliation. Use your time, like you've already given enough time to that situation that put you in this place of being scorned. Don't give it any more of your time. Use your energy now to rebuild and to move on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lady Tamika, are you still with us?
I am still here.
All right. So what's your feedback?
So when... A lot of times we think that, you know, it makes us feel better because, oh, I told her off, or I told him off, or I, you know, you did something manipulative, you know, to get back at the person. Honestly, I mean, when you think about it, ultimately it may feel good. Oh, I took care of that. But obviously somewhere deep within the depths of you, you have not healed. And whether it's that individual, you'll find yourself, you know, when you know, you want to know when you really have not healed? When something similar to the situation that happened before strikes you strange, then that lets you know you haven't healed from the previous event, and you have to take the time, whatever it is, go to therapy, talk to somebody, get yourself healed, because otherwise you could hurt the wrong person.
Absolutely. Ooh, absolutely. Shanti, don't retaliate.
Yes, that was something that I did a lot, and I did it a little different, because typically when, especially a woman, you retaliate, you do it in hopes that the other person, especially when you're talking about a man, you know, he's hurt by it, he sees what you're doing, he hears what you're doing, and you get the satisfaction of watching him feel the way you feel. My retaliation was always, I'm doing this for me. You ain't got to know nothing. You ain't got to know that I'm dealing with another man. You ain't got to know I'm entertaining another man. I'm not doing it in your face. I'm not. It was just for my self-gratification, which when I analyzed it, is worse than when you're trying to do it. Because when you're trying to do it to hurt the other person, it's already horrible on so many different levels in so many different ways. But now with me, it's just like, I ain't got to put it in your face. You would just think that I'm just sitting here and I'm still mad at you because I'm going to let my feelings be known. I ain't want to sit here and, oh, I'm okay. No, I'm not. And now we're not okay. But this ain't got to be done in your face. This doesn't have to be public knowledge or news. I'm not going to tell one of your friends and hope they tell you. I'm not going to tell one of my friends and hope that they tell. A lot of times my friends didn't even know what I was doing, you know, but you really have to make sure that you're not, because that now turns into, you know, that is synonymous with vengeance. And now there's so much wickedness in your thoughts and in your actions, in your deeds, because now all of that is simmering. And now it's like, I'm just doing this to make myself feel better. It ain't even about getting at you. It's about me getting at you internally, though. I'm just doing this to make myself feel better. So you really have to make sure you're abstaining from retaliation, because it, you lose control. When you think you're doing things and you're in control of what you do to get back at the other person or to make yourself feel good, you start to lose yourself, and you now lose control with your thoughts and what you do. It's very much possible.
All right. Well, before we leave to go to our Faith Over Fear segment, forgive. A woman scorned, they have on this list that you need to forgive. Lady Tamika?
A lot of times people think that forgiving means that I have to have you always in my circle. No, that's not what it means. It means that I have to be able to forgive you so that I don't keep bringing that up, so that I don't continue. The forgiveness is not so much for you. The forgiveness is for me so that I can look you in the face and not harbor any ill will, hatred, any, you know, I don't think about you and want you harmed. I literally have moved on. I have become an adult. I have healed. And now I can look you in the face and be able to, that does, again, that doesn't mean we got to go party, we got to, you know, have lunch, we got to go sit and, you know, do the movies or whatever it is that you do. I don't have to entertain you. It just simply means that I have gotten past what you did to me in order to move on and in order to engage with other people and not allow something that even could be remotely similar to what has happened to cause me to stumble, to cause me to look back, or to cause me to backtrack and be a person that I really don't want to be in God.
All righty. Shantish, forgiveness. How essential is this to your life once you've been scorned?
Let all bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's one of my memory verses. Well, those are two verses. Two of my memory verses. That is Ephesians 4:31 and 32. And I have to say that out loud to remind myself not only to forgive as God has forgiven me through Christ, but to let go of all of that stuff, you know, because it's easy. Again, you don't even realize a lot of times how the bitterness and the anger and the wrath and the evil speaking, all that just latches to you. If you're not on guard, if you don't recite the word of God out loud, because again, I only memorize verses that I need for myself. If you don't keep that and meditate on that, there will be no forgiveness, because all you sit and meditate on is how someone has made you feel. And then you also have to remember that this is what Jesus made sure he didn't even allow to be latched onto him when we were his enemy. You know, he doesn't walk around carrying bitterness and anger and wrath and evil words towards us. And we could be his enemy at 3 o'clock, and then we can go and ask for forgiveness, and at 3:01, we can now be in good standings with him again. You know, he doesn't carry these things with us, and we really, and I used to always hear people say, well, I'm not Jesus. No, I know. No, we're not Jesus. Yes, we're flawed. He wasn't. I get it. At the same time, you know, there's a high level of striving that Jesus knows we can do, and the more we strive, does not mean that we're going to be flawless, but it does mean that we're less likely to continue to walk around with these spirits, the spirit of bitterness, the spirit of anger. And I was just talking about anger the other day. It's to the point where now if I get angry for 1 second, I'm angry that I'm angry because I know what it is to be angry. And it's like it takes way too much energy. It consumes too much of your time, too much of your thoughts, where you could be doing something constructive and where you could be getting, it's too much. All of these wicked, stupid feelings that these verses are telling us to be on guard about, stand in between you and forgiving whomever, even yourself. So you really have to make sure that you're allowing Jesus to continue to coax you with forgiveness.
All righty. Thank you. And Elder Night Tisha, you have the last word today. What are we talking about here? A woman scorned, needing to be forgiving.
It's literally what both of my sisters have spoken. It's really about you being free. It's your ability to not allow it to fester inside of you. It's your ability to not just allow it to change who you are, because unforgiveness changes us from the original intent, our original design that God has created us to be. And when we allow, right, and it's the plan of the enemy for things and experiences to reshape us, to cause us to be something other than who God has called us to be and who God has made us to be. And so when you harbor unforgiveness, you literally are stepping out of who you are and becoming something else. And so when you do that, your character shifts, your attitude shifts, your connection with God shifts. So there's too much at stake to hold on to unforgiveness. So here are the things that we can do that help us and lead us to that place of forgiveness, because it's hard. We are human. But the first thing is to remember that we've been forgiven, right? That's the scripture that Shantice gave to us in Ephesians, is to remember that we forgive because we've been forgiven, and that we too have sinned against God and in ways that is complete, that is highly offensive to God. It is highly offensive to the one who laid down his life for us when we sin and go against his attributes, go against his ways, and turn our back on him in order to lean into our own desires and wants and things of that nature. So we forgive because we've been forgiven. But then we reflect on the situation. How did I get into that? What decision did I make that allowed me to put myself in this predicament? Right, to the point where I can get scorned. That means scorn means that this thing went to the depth of who you are. How long did you stay in that situation in order for it to get so deep for you? So it's being able to reflect on that, looking at your decisions, and then really arriving at a place of letting it go. Because when we let it go and we look at this person, we begin to empathize for them. We can see the truth about their brokenness, their humanity. When we can identify our own stuff, we can look at someone else and also see how sin plays out in their life. Sin doesn't only play out in your life, and their wrongdoing against you is the sin playing out in their life. And so it allows for you to have compassion for those individuals and then decide to keep it moving. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you are my friend again. Forgiveness doesn't mean that I have to let you continue to walk over me. Forgiveness doesn't mean that I am ignorant to the fact that you're unhealthy or toxic. It doesn't mean that. Forgiveness just simply is, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to find the compassion, the empathy, so that I can recognize and remain in right standings with God. So let it go. Forgive, because it only hurts you when you don't.
Amen, ladies. Amen. Thank you so very much. And that, those so small little things we talked about today in regards to a woman scorned kind of wrapped up everything. So we give God thanks for your contribution into this conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day, ladies.
Okay, thank you. You too. Oh, it's time for our Faith Over Fear with Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today, my dear?
I am well, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
All right. You know, Pastor Charlene, we talked about, you know, a woman scorned last week and this week. And two of the points that came out this week is don't retaliate and forgive. What happens in that, in our lives, you know, that we're fearful about that don't allow us to not retaliate or to be forgiving? But that faith needs to overshadow that fear.
Well, actually, I used to be, I'll get you back one way or another, And the closer that I got to the Lord is when I got fearful of him not being pleased. You always want to be able to have God to be pleased of what you say, what you do, your actions. And it's so crazy that we're still talking about this because I had got hurt this week from somebody that I wasn't expecting to. Deeply. And my reaction was where I had to get up and to walk away so that I would not add into the conversation. And I mean screaming, hollering, cussing, the whole shebang. So I had to remove myself, and they did not want me. It was people around, and they did not want me to be removed. You know, they didn't want me to leave. But I knew that not because I am a pastor, but because of how far God has brought me, that I know that I needed to remove myself so that where that I would not react on the way that they reacted to me, for me to be able to stay in that moment with the Lord, because you know you really call on God when it's hitting you right in your face. So in the mix of that, I knew that when I removed myself, that my faith in God, I knew that he will pull me through. It took me days, and I'm still going through it, to be able to get into that healing moment of being able to snap myself back, with the Lord's help, of course. So when we are scorned and when we're dealing with something, you know, you got to remember that God is still in control of it all, and got to be able to have that strength to lean on him. I had to shut myself down from everybody so I'm able just to stay in the face of the Lord so he could pull me through, because your mind will tell you, you know, that wicked will come up, you know, and that flesh will rise, and where that you have to put it under subjection, and where that you stay in the presence of God. And knowing that you don't have to, and as it was stated, you don't have to continue that friendship in the way that it was before. What you can do is just to move forward, you know, and knowing that God is continuing to clean your heart out. God is continuing, you know, to help you walk every day, you know, and to release it. You always hear me say it. It's like when you're walking and the flesh is just falling off. So all of the anger, all of the, you know, things that have happened, you let it go. So I say to you to continue to call on the Lord, and knowing your triggers, knowing if you're not ready, you know what I mean, of facing that person, it's about you. You have to, sometimes we're in a spot where you have to face that person, but you have to be able to be strong enough and to continue just to keep walking. Still say hello, you know, God bless you, whatever word that you want to use, but to know that God has covered you. He is surrounding you. He has his arms around you, and you're able to pull through where that you won't have that feeling when you hear that name, or feeling when you see that person. So just continue to press forward. Trust God. Just trust him and know that he is with you, and knowing that he will take the pain away. This too shall pass, because if you think back in your life how many times that we thought that we couldn't make it through, and he has brought us through. So if he did it before, he can do it again. And just trust and believe in him. And just know that God is with you, and he loves you, and he knew that this was going to happen. And so, therefore, he know that you are strong enough to push your way through and keep your eye on the prize, which is him.
Amen. Faith over fear. Thank you, Pastor Shawl, and thank you for your words of encouragement and guidance. And we give God thanks for your word, and we pray that you have a blessed day.
You all do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. Good ending. Good ending. You know, Pastor Charlotte said something that I was thinking as the ladies were speaking. And how many times have you been scorned? And you didn't think you were going to get through that day. You know, it doesn't matter what the scorn was. Because sometimes, you know, people say, oh, you know, it's a man. You know, sometimes, you know, women, you know, you're so trusting that, you know, you can kind of get twisted when someone does something to you. But before I go any further, let me get our benediction, Revelation 1, 5, and 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay. You know, he got you through once. He'll get you through again. You know, one of the things we have to remember is it's always in preparation for, you know, for what? For the next time, so that we can, you know, make sure that we're looking out for the right things. One of the things that was also on the list was take responsibility. And I believe that's what Elder Natisha brought up. You know, how have we played into being scorned? You know, have we put ourselves too far out there? You know, especially with men, ladies, you know, sometimes we're guilty of that. You know, we put ourselves all the way out there. We're extra trusting, we're extra giving, and then we, you know, we're upset when they do something, you know, that we didn't expect them to do, or they made a move that we didn't expect them to make, or they don't feel about us the way we feel that they should feel about us after we did all of this. You know how we do. You know, take responsibility. So, you know, that has happened to you. So now, when you're moving forward, you should know the things that you look out for. Well, things come up at times that, whoa, even though I've been through this, I didn't see that coming. Absolutely. Absolutely. There is nothing definitive in this thing here. But the one thing we do know is regardless of how you were scorned, who scorned you, how deeply, you know, you were hurt, we know that there is a forgiving God. And, you know, one of the things I used to say a lot was, think about how many times we've done this to God. And now the tables are turned. And now someone is doing it to us. You know, think about how many times God forgave us. And think about, you know, how that feels, you know, to God over and over and over and over again. And now, you know, the first time somebody does something to us, we say, but I'm done, I'm this, I'm that. You know, now you want to retaliate or, you know, and like was given, you know, some people retaliate where they got to let you feel. They want you to feel exactly what they felt. Or in Chantisa's case, she didn't care. Just self-satisfaction was good enough for her. Either way, here's my challenge to everybody. Do you want to potentially get in trouble with God? Now, somebody's done something to you. Now, God has clearly said your enemy is now his enemy. So if someone's hurt you, do you think God is happy with them? Absolutely not. So now you're the victim. And instead of us acting and recovering being a victim, now we are doing things to now possibly, now we have to answer to God for. And that's always something that I always thought about. I'm like, okay, now am I going to get in trouble? Now I got to go say an extra prayer or five extra pair of prayers to undo what I've just done. I've just been a little too scared.
for me. That's what I was even saying about the people, the person who pickpocketed the guy who was dying. I'd just be too scared that I'd be the one, I'd get hit by a car. I'm standing in the ministry going to the parking lot, I'd get hit by a car. See, that kind of stuff, I think about, you know, what happens when. And that's what I always thought about in retaliation. You know, if I'm in retaliation mode, am I now going to have to go ask for forgiveness from God? Nah, that's just, I already got enough on my hands. I don't need to be acting and doing things that's really going to get me in more trouble. I didn't already did some things that I got to go and ask God to forgive me for. And it may be things that I didn't even realize, but I still need to ask for forgiveness. So now I'm going to compound that with stuff that I'll pass. That's where my head goes. Well, regardless of where your head goes in regards to why you don't want to or you shouldn't retaliate, don't. Because we know that most times we really go extra. And now instead of remembering that God said, vengeance is mine. Now we're making moves on our own? Nah. Even the slightest movement. You know, we also have a habit of saying, we ain't going to do that, but I'm going to do this. At least I ain't do that, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a phone call that I shouldn't be making, but at least I didn't slice the tires. See, all that kind of stuff. Ladies, let's be careful. Let's pay attention to what we're getting ourselves in, even in friendships. You know, even a lot of times when we're scorned after friendship, when we go back, we don't think about some of the stuff that we allowed to happen. If we were a little more careful, maybe that would not have happened. So let's err on the side of caution. And while we're scorned, after we're scorned, let's just make sure we take that to God. Let's make sure that we give it all to Him. Not a little bit, not 90%, because that little 10% can sink the ship. Let's make sure that we're following the guidelines of God and stay before the Lord in all your relationships. That's another thing I've learned to pray over. My friendships, my relationships, the relationships with me and the congregation, my relationship with me and my family, I keep that stuff before the Lord. God, keep my eyes open so that I can be aware. If anything is kind of going sideways, it won't be like 9 steps in before I realize that something is wrong. And I mean, that's with everybody. That's with everybody and everything. I've learned to pray over every relationship, and that I would not be so deeply hurt because I was looking in the opposite direction, or I brushed something off, or I said, I'll take care of that later. No. If you see something, give it to God. And that way, He'll always be ahead of the game for you because you can't handle it all. So, you know, go back and think about some of the times when you were scorned, and could you have prevented it? Give it to God. Give it to God now so you do not end up in the same place you were before. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, it changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, my ladies, for always coming through big time for us. Thank you for participating and hanging out with us today. Until tomorrow, God spares our life, where it's Therapeutic Thursday. I love you.